So let's do some review. Can we do some review? How many ready for a review? I got it. All right. Well, we're talking about what a good soldier does, what a good soldier looks like. How does a good soldier act? What are attitudes of a good soldier? Who knows the first thing that we went over? What is a good soldier? What is he? Tell me about a good soldier. Number one, what is it? Yeah, he knows what team's on. And what else? And he's loyal. He's loyal to that team. Good, good, good. Coffee for you. What else does a good soldier do? What's the number second thing that he does? Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, he understands a good soldier, coffee for you. A good soldier understands that he understands that he has weaponry. And he uses that weaponry not only to bless himself, but to bless others. And I was thinking about this last night. What's so awesome is death and life are in the power of the tongue. So here's the reality. Not only can we bless people, but we can curse some things, some strongholds in our lives that need to be cursed. We can curse those. It's a very powerful weapon to build things up that need to be built up, but also to tear things down that need to be torn down. Amen. What's the third thing? How many knows the third things? What? Yes. That's good. Yeah. Very good. Very, 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 very good. This is a little harder to understand and articulate, but we understand we're in a war. And particularly in America, but I'd say throughout the world, we understand that the enemy is this secularism that God is not important. God is irrelevant. It's matter of fact, God is kind of a little kooky, and the people who worship God are a little kooky. You know what? I mean, you can worship other gods and your cool cat skinny jeans, but if you worship Jesus, that's a little nutty. Well, that's pretty ironic because there is no other real God except our God. Oh, you missed a good time to shout amen. There is really no other God except our God. I mean, real God. The Bible talks about other gods. But when the Bible talks about other gods, it is a little g. Bible says, why in the world do you make a image, you carve a image of a bird, and then you put it on a pedestal and worship the bird that you carved? This is ridiculousness. There is only one God. And we get blamed for not being open-minded. There's all kinds of things I'm not open-minded to. You can talk to me forever that 4 and 4 equals, you know what, 7, but it don't make any difference. I'm not gonna banter with you on that. It doesn't. You're wrong. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I'm not trying to be condescending to anyone. But I am saying that we've got to come up with the reality of this secularism, which is God out. No, God in. What's wrong with our country? Pastor, what? Tell me what's wrong with our country. You can talk about all the things that are wrong with your country, but I'll whittle it down to one thing is wrong with our country. We have kicked the real God out of our country. Amen? Out of our schools. Our schools, you say, Pastor, you don't support the public schools? Listen, when the public schools start teaching reading for the purpose of educating people to read their Bible, that's when I'm back in. That's when I'm back in. Amen. That's when I'm back in. Come on, somebody say amen to this. That's when I'm back in. That's when I'm back in. And we barely started on this, but I'll still give you a coffee if you get it. Who knows the fourth thing we start talking about? Yes, this handsome gentleman over here. Yeah, that's good. Good, 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 good. Never give up. Somebody say never give up. Say never give up. Everybody say never give up. Say never, 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 never give up. Never give up. You missed a never. Okay, I'm just joking. Never give up. My first point today. Y'all here today? Come on, let's have some church today. Y'all here today? Never give up. It's my first point. Never give up. Number one, don't give up. Never give up. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6. Oh, man, aren't these TVs nice? Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He says this is Paul, he's writing a church, and he says this, he's writing a group of churches in Galatia, and he says this, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I marvel. Paul's saying, what are you doing? I taught you this. You accepted Jesus in your heart. You believed God. I left and you were doing great, but now I turn around and you're, you know what, I barely ever see you anymore on Sunday. You know what, you're all focused on a bunch of other stuff. What is going on? What happened? Or you're even into other stuff that's not biblical. I don't know what's going on with you. And then we saw this last week, but I want you to take notice. There is a, I'm not trying to create division amongst you, amongst anybody. But how many know we've got to rightfully divide the word of truth? We've got to teach the word of truth. I mean, you know what? I'm looking at Fred. That's what we learned. We learned this growing up, and we didn't know. We just thought, you know what? Since it was the word, I mean, we just thought since the pastor was preaching it that was true. I listened to a pastor last week preach this very text. And as soon as, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is a well-known pastor. He's got a big church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's start with verse 1. We read this last week, but we're going to read it again this week. How many know everything about this chapter already? Okay, that's what I thought. All right, let's move on. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, and which you stand. Now let's go over this. You received it. How many received the word of God? Raise your hand if you received the word of God. What does that make you? Yeah, it makes you saved. What else does it make you? What other words would we use? What? It makes you a believer. What else? What's another common word? What else, Pastor? It makes you change. That's right. What else? I'm still looking for it. A child of God, sanctified. I'm still haven't heard it. It's more simple. What are you? What are we, Connie? We're Christians. We're Christians. You receive. They receive. These people, watch this, are Christians. And it's clear. Why? Because words mean things. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which we preached to you, which you also received. We didn't preach it and you rejected it, but you received it. But if it's not clear, I love the word of God because it's clear and then it gets clearer and then it gets clearer. I love that about the word of God. Which we preached to you, which you received. Now you're born again. Now you're Christians. In which you what? Stand. Is there any doubt that these people are not Christians? Not if you're looking at verse 1. Watch this. Verse 2. Before I get into this, could you do me a favor? If you've been taught, once you're saved, you're always saved. If you've been, don't say amen to that. If you've been taught that, do me a favor, just keep an open mind. I'm not saying believe what I'm saying. What I am saying is believe in what I show you in the Word of God. Oh, that's what I am saying. Yeah, but my old pastor taught me this, and he said, let me get to it, and then we'll go there. Verse 2, by which you are saved. Did you see what I'm talking about? Clear, more clear. Is there any doubt? These people received, they stand, and now they're saved. Now, what kind of bad hermeneutics would look at that verse and say, those people never, I believe those people probably never got saved. It just tells you they were saved. Do you see that there? Look what he says now. In which you are saved, if, do you see that word if? I'm just reading these words. Can I teach? Yeah, but the Greek. Listen, get a Bible that has, get on your phone a Bible, and you can come up with 15 different versions. And when you read this chapter, this verse, just like almost every other verse, they will initially say exactly the same thing. Do you know why they'll almost exactly say the same thing? Because they are good translations of the Greek. That's why they're all saying the same things. Okay. And I'm not saying that there's not some depth. We'll look at it today. I have pulled out a Greek word that just brings some depth, and that's helpful sometimes. But I'm just teaching you good theology and why all those verses, chapters, are all those versions are all alike. Because they're all good translations from the Greek. By which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. If you hold fast. Somebody wrap that with me. If you hold fast. See, somebody gets saved in junior high and they're doing good for a while, but we're going to look at it. Number one thing, understand, don't quit. A good soldier does not quit. Amen? But here's what you have to understand. I not only want to teach you not to quit, which is vitally important. There are so many people that right before they're going to break through, they quit. Because in life, difficulties come. Difficulties in life are part of life. But if you see things accurately, difficulties are just an opportunity for you to develop your character. There was a young man in 2006, and he had this idea. And his idea was that he wanted to, he thought, you know, if I could put the Bible on a computer, somebody could go to the Bible, if I could put that on a computer, and somebody could go to the Bible, and I could have different versions, and I could, and you could look at it and take notes, and you could make notes in the margins. I think it would be a wonderful idea. And so he developed this software where you could buy his software and load it on your computer, and your Bible, it wouldn't be a book, it would be on your computer. This is in 2006. Well, he had a team, and they were excited. They thought it was going to make a lot of money and just do real, real well, and he launched it. And when he launched it in 2006, they had a little interest, but it never caught on, and the company really never made any money. 2 weeks before the company was scheduled to completely close down and all the employees would be let go and the company would dissolve, he had this idea that maybe it would be better if I could put the Bible on a mobile phone. Not app, because there were no apps. So he had this idea, if I could put that on a mobile phone. And so he started working on it and working on it. And they started developing it and developing it. Well, in 2008, guess what Apple came up with? Apple said, we're going to come up with these apps. And you can submit your ideas to us. And we'll sell these apps for you on the Apple App Store. The first day that the App Store was opened, this young man had submitted his app already to the Apple Store. They okayed it. What they intended was in 1 year to sell 80,000 apps or have people download 80,000. In 3 days, there was 83,000 already. That young man's name was Bobby Grunwald, and now the YouVersion Bible app has been downloaded to 400 million phones in every country in the world. And 2 weeks before the whole company was going to shut down, he had an idea. And had already developed most of it. He just had to make the application. Number one, do not quit. Look at your neighbor, say, do not quit. I think it's important for me to remind you, don't quit. But I think it's also important for us to, in a biblical way, in a practical way, look in the Bible and see, why do people quit? That's a good question, is it not? Because the Bible tells us why people quit. Turn with me, if you will, or we have it up on the screens, you know it for you. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And let's start with verse 3. Of course, I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. But if not, you can follow it with us up on the screens. Which, how many know the screens are all over the place? How many can see it in the back? How many can see it in the back? Okay. How many can see it in the front? Okay, good. Okay. Follow us word for word. Listen, verse 3. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up. Notice it sprang up. Because it had no depth of earth. Look at verse 6. But when the sun came out, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7. Then some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But others' seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop and sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 9, and he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him, somebody say those around him, in with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it was given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they might see and not perceive, and hearing they might hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? In other words, if you understand this parable, you're going to have a good understanding of all kinds of parables. Verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately to steal, to take away the word that is sown in their hearts. Verse 16, likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Notice, they receive the word for a little while. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word of God, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You say, Pastor, why do you go to this text? Because I not only want to tell you don't quit, I want to show you why people do quit. I want to warn you, Christians, because I've preached for a long time and I've seen people, and some of the people are in the front row shouting amen, hallelujah, as louder than anybody else. And I thank God for those people. But those people who are shouting amen and thank God, and then all of a sudden 2 months you don't see them, what happened to them? It's not coincidence. Satan has a plan for you, and his plan is to steal the word that's sown. That's why this passage is so imperative that we understand. Because if we are to be a good soldier, we need to not quit, and we need to understand what our enemy is trying to do, how he works to try to get us to quit. I won't take long explaining this. Number one, say the wayside. Actually, it's my second point, the wayside. Verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside, this is what Jesus said, where the word is sown, when they hear it, here, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown. This is someone who has a hard heart. Many of these people never even come to church. Some of them come to church, but they're not focused. They're every little thing. They're really concerned about all kinds of things. But many of these people never even make it to church. They've been invited, but they don't come. They hear something. They hear, you know what, 3 minutes of the word on the radio or the television. But they're quickly to turn the channel. Their hearts are hard. Many of these people don't believe in God. They've been convinced by a large extent by the public school system that God doesn't exist. That we weren't created by God. We were created by evolution in time. We, you know what, the polywog, you know what, became a rabbit that became a giraffe that became a monkey or whatever the chain of command is. Do the research, folks. Recognize you are not the foolish. They are the foolish. You are not the unwise. They are the unwise. You are not the crazy non-intellectuals. They are the crazy non-intellectuals. If the science department would just step across the aisle and talk to the math department and find out how illogical this is, that this would happen. You say, yeah, but we can see the change. You know what? Evolution can be proven. Not of the species, it can't. You missed a good time to say shout amen. Amen. Not of the species it can't. You can find a little bird that might adapt his little beak. But that's all you're going to find in science. What is science? Science is the observable truth of what can be reproduced. That's what science is. It's so interesting because they tell you to follow the science and then they won't follow the science. Amen? You can say amen to this. It's the truth. Follow the science. It's funny, as you listen to these intellectuals, they will use big words and talk about, but listen to what they say as they are explaining to you evolution. They'll say stuff like, we're not sure, we theorize, we think, it's a good probability. You know what that's telling you? They don't have science about it all. They don't really know what's going on. And it's so weird because the Christians have backed up and have allowed them to take the mantle of the intelligent. And the Bible doesn't give them that right. The Bible says in their wisdom, they become but fools. That's what the Bible says. But we have backed up so much, we're not strong in our convictions. We don't know, and we need to know. They are the illogical ones, not us. Can you say amen to this? Amen. What are these people? These people are, what about lunch? Here's what you got, hard heart. What about lunch? That's illogical. You know what? These people are just hypocrites. All pastor wants is your money. Hard hearts, that's who they are. Number 3, stony ground. Verse 17. And they have no root in themselves. That's really important. Say they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Who is this? These are people who have a twisted understanding of what Christianity is. They love Christianity as long as it comes with cake and brownie and punch. Come on. Yeah. Carne asada, but it's got to be tender carne asada. Do you understand? See, they come, and notice these people are different. The people with a hard heart, the Bible doesn't indicate that they ever take root. They're like, they're crazy. Hard heart. But notice these people, they come to Christ. They receive. They are in. They accept Jesus. And where's the punch in the cookies? Right? Where's the, Pastor, I like your church because the music is good. If it's too cold, you have heaters. If it's too hot, you have fans. I like that. I like that you have a barbecue. I like that. I like that part. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask that everyone donate 2 hours to build the kingdom of God. Right? Now that's, that's not the Christianity that I like. Listen, here. And listen, if you're watching at home, we love that you're watching at home. We're doing everything, you know what, that we can. We don't want to judge anyone. But listen, but I want to be honest with people who are watching at home. Can I be honest? Be careful. Because it can get real comfortable watching in your bed. Can I say that? Can I say that? Listen, I'm not judging you. I understand that COVID is real. And we don't judge around here. We want to allow people to have their space. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, we learned it this week. If it offends my brother to eat meat, I'm not going to eat meat. It's a very non-judgmental. We don't, in things that aren't, these things aren't, you know, your salvation ain't going to be based on that. Do you understand? But we need to also be careful, because it can be real comfortable, and we start to understand a Christianity in terms of, I love Christ as long as everything is about me. And those people are going to be on the train and off the train, because Christianity sometimes will get very uncomfortable. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen. Pastor, I don't think I should say amen to that. No, because it's the truth. Sometimes it will become very uncomfortable. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Start with verse 16. Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 16. Behold, I sent you out as sheep among in the midst of what?
Wolves.
Therefore, be wise as serpent and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will, watch this, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. You know, this pastor that Tamara and I are following in Canada, he was thrown in jail. He gets out of jail to go to his church, and at his church, there are gates, and then there's more gates. No, not like our gates that are open. There are gates that the government has put up around them. The outer gates are made, but the inner gates, not only are there more gates, but they have barbed wire at the top. If he was able to hop the barbed wire and get past the two gates that the government set up, he got out his church keys, and he wouldn't be able to get in the church because they changed the locks on the church. They seized his building, private property. All in the gaze of, understand, they will call their unrighteousness righteousness. They will call you the one who's immoral. All in the name of public health. God help us when we don't understand that spiritual health is more important than physical health. Oh, who am I preaching to? God help us when we don't understand that spiritual health is more important than physical health. You say, Pastor, are you saying that's not important? I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying, you know what? Watch what's going on. Well, Pastor, where is the cookies and punch? Because this ain't the Christianity I signed up for. Exactly. And people will get off the train. They're like, I don't know about that. I like the Christianity. You know what? And maybe the time is coming. I don't know. I hope not. I hope not. I hope we're all back inside soon and we eat carne asada. We'll be out here. You know what? Watching Christian videos, you know what? And I hope that's all happening. Praise God. So what does this pastor do? He don't get off the train. He figures out where we're going to meet. You can take our building, but you can't take us. Amen. What you going to do? And listen to me, I don't know who, I'm speaking to all of you. Be careful that you're not too quiet. That's what happened in Germany. The church was too quiet. You know, listen, life is important, but it's not all that important. I'm talking about, we've got to live quality of lives that we're willing to stand up to tyranny. Say, this is wrong. Well, yeah, but then, Pastor, what kind of lunch do they have in jail? I think bologna sandwich is what I don't. You know what? I'm gonna rip on my wife a little bit, but I find her acclimation to pillows is beyond what I can even fathom. We were somewhere the other day, and she found these two pillows in there. She said, "Oh, Drew, feel these pillows." And I felt the pillows. It felt so good. I'm like, "Honey, like, we don't have enough pillows in our house." I'm like, "Honey, where are we going to put these pillows?" "I don't know, but I just felt them, and I wanted them." Listen, there might not be pillows, you know what, in jail. Do you understand this? This is what Jesus Christ is talking about. They're going to put you up before councils. And these councils are going to look at you and say, "You are the bigot. You are the one. You are the unrighteous one." "You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony for them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you will speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak." God is going to use you if you'll be used by God, if you'll stand up for unrighteousness. Verse 20, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. Now, well, listen to this. "Now brother will be delivered up, brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents." You're going to have people in your family that are going to feed you up and see you as the unrighteous, and cause them to be put to death. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end he endures to the what? End." That's the "if" that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. No. This isn't those who started good. We're all happy when we had church and we had carne asada and you could come out and eat Tamara's famous chicken burrito. Amen. Now, listen, if the church continues to go that way, thank God for it. But I'm looking for the people who say, "Listen, if it comes down to that, give me the bologna sandwich with no pillows, because I'd rather have that with Christ than all what the world had without Christ." See, we've got to recognize our life is just like that, and we have an opportunity to testify in the goodness of God. You say, Pastor, you're freaking me out. Pastor, you're freaking me out. Well, see, that's what we do. That's what we do in church, and I understand it. Here's what we want to do. We want to say, Is your seat comfortable? Cody, are you comfortable? You know, last week, I was over there and I thought, "Oh, maybe it's getting a little cold." You know, hey, turn on the heaters. Why? Because we don't... I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. None of you come up to me and said, "Pastor, if you don't turn up the heater in the next 30 seconds, I'm out of here." None of you said that. Let me tell you about the pastor's hearts. Our hearts is we desire people to come to the knowledge of the truth. So because of that, we do everything we can. We want to know if it's a seat comfortable. We not only have heaters, we have fans. Hello. Amen. Remember when we were here in the summer, it was 100 degrees that one Sunday? What did we have for you? Free. What did you have free? Ice water. Everybody got cold water. I don't want just water. No, figure out. Get it. You know, Pastor Vegas, put it in. Get some ice, man. Put it in the freezers. What are we trying to do? We care about you. We love you. We want you comfortable. And so, in essence, we're kind of part of the problem. We're kind of part of the problem. Because we preach, watch this. All you have to do, I'm not saying this now. We're not asking people to accept Jesus right now. So I'm using an illustration, okay? Sometimes I do this and people's heads are bowed and they're, no, not yet, okay? But we say, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus, all you have to do is just say this prayer after me and ask Jesus into your heart. And is all that true? It's all true. But the reality is, can I talk to you about Jesus? Jesus comes to people and he says, hey, you want to be my disciple? And they say, yeah, just a minute. I first need to bury my father. And he says, nope. Got your priorities messed up. Let all your crazy, unreligious, unspiritual family members take care of that. Does somebody have unspiritual family members that can take care of stuff like that? No, but your priorities messed up. See, Jesus is the one. God is the one who says, hey, let's have a festival. Let's have a banquet and get people to come. And these people that are invited, they say, no, we got something going on. I got something going on with this. I got something going on with that. I just got married. I got to take care of, my wife has a honey-do list. I got all these things I got to do first. God doesn't tell the people, go back and ask them pretty please with sugar on it. You know what God says? He says, get somebody else to come then. Amen? Yeah. Get somebody else to come then. Yeah. See, let me tell you about God. God is fully committed to us, and he expects us to be fully committed to him. Fully committed to him. And so there's going to be things that are going to come up that are going to cause you uncomfortableness. When I asked you, let's everybody just, I'm not asking you to do this right now. When I ask you, let's raise our hands to God. I'm not asking, if you feel comfortable raising your hands to God. Listen, don't get mad at me. The Bible says, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. If the Bible asked me to, on Sunday, if the Bible, if Jesus asked me to wear polka-dotted shirt on Sunday, guess what I'm wearing Sunday? I'm wearing a polka-dot. Yeah, but I don't think I look good with polka-dotted shirt. Who cares? See, in the end days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. No. God wants us fully committed to do what he's asked us to do. And let me tell you what, the Bible is clear that there's persecution that's going to come. Verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he endures to the end will be saved. Verse 23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Notice what he says, when you're persecuted, he's not telling them to quit. He's saying, just move on. Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Notice Jesus is committed to God no matter what he asked him to do. You know why his name is above every other name? Because he was willing to be obedient to God. Here's what the Bible says. Even unto death, even death on a cross. When the pandemic hit, and be careful how you use that word, pandemic. No, really. Look it up, and you tell me if what has taken place even qualifies for a pandemic. Pastor, don't. What? Don't think words matter? No, words matter. If you can look it up and if you can define it as a pandemic, then call it that. But if not, then why are we calling it what it isn't? I'm just asking. That's a fair question, is it not? But when this thing came, I was just grieved in my spirit. One of the things I was grieved about was the division that's taken place in our country. Can I park there for a minute just because I feel the Holy Spirit just calling me, and I'm going to be preaching this for a long time. This is something I'm going to preach over and over again. Listen, I don't care what color your skin is, and I hope you don't care what color my skin is. I'm going to say that again. I don't care what color your skin is, and I hope you don't care what color my skin is. How many ladies, you wear nail polish? Raise your hand if you wear nail polish. I could care less if you have pink, purple, orange with black dots, or orange with white dots. It makes no difference to me. I don't care if your hair is long or short, or curly or straight. I don't care, you know what, if you have blonde hair or black hair. I don't care if you have red hair or any other color hair. Amen? I know people are creative now with their hairstyles. And I say, rock on with your little self. That's what I say. No, really. Really. It doesn't make any difference. I celebrate your diversity. I look over here. I was looking at this the other day, and I looked at this beautiful, it's a yellow plant. They're very healthy, and they're hard to kill. That's why we have them here. But they bring a lot of color. I'm just saying. And then right next to it are these other plant, and it's green, very green, but it has these purplish pink things that come out, and it creates a lot of color. Well, notice they're all just enjoying each other, are they not? The yellow's not looking at the green saying, I'm better than you, and the green ain't looking at the yellow saying, oh, why don't you? I have pink leaves and you don't. See, why don't we celebrate each other? Instead of looking at each other and saying, well, you're like that and I'm like this, and let me tell you what the heart of that really is. I'm like this, and I'm better than you. That's the heart of it, and it's disgusting. It's an ugly spirit, and we have allowed that spirit to creep back into our country to the place like it has never been before. Well, maybe that's not true, but to a level that I haven't ever experienced since I was a kid. And it's disgusting, and it needs to stop. And listen, and the church, it's especially got to stop in the church. I don't care what skin color you have. I don't, you know what I mean? You know. I don't care if you're, you know what, not as dark as me. See how ridiculous this is? It's craziness. Johnny Gutierrez. Who's Johnny Gutierrez? Johnny Gutierrez was a swimmer on the swim team when I was on the swim team. And Johnny Gutierrez, obviously, he is, you know what, was Mexican. But Johnny Gutierrez was one of the whitest persons I ever seen in my life. You should just laugh at Johnny Gutierrez because he was so white. But it doesn't make any difference. Do you understand? See, this isn't about your skin tone. This is about Satan trying to divide us. And he will do anything. He will use nationality origins. He will use height origins. He will use male and female. He will use rich and poor. He'll use El Rancho Pioneer, Coke and Pepsi. You know what? Apple and Android. You know what? Led Zeppelin or Van Halen. Right? Yeah, well, Dodgers or Angels. Everybody knows. Do you see? Thank you, Tamara. Do you see?
Don't say nothing about my Dodgers, man. Don't say nothing about my Dodgers.
Right? Do you get it? See, it doesn't make any difference. It's all a tool of the enemy. Amen. Now that was just the cherry on top. But how many know we need to be led by the Spirit? We need to deal with issues in the church. And one of the things we need to deal with is a church that is developed, that it's all about you. And if you're not comfortable, then you're gonna get off the train. You know, one of the reasons why I continue to ask you to volunteer 2 hours a week. Notice I don't ask you for 4 or 8 or 20 or, I mean, if you want to volunteer a whole day, I would hope that you would, if you could, if you can. But you know why I've asked everybody to volunteer, everyone, 2 hours a week? Because I want you to get outside of yourself. I want you to come to the church. Here's the irony. The irony is that when Paul was in jail, read his book in that he wrote to the Philippians. He's having the time of his life. See, I'd rather be with Christ doing his will in jail, eating a bologna sandwich with no fluffy pillows, than to have all the riches of the world, all the convenience, and not be in the will of God. So one of the things that I've done as I prepared, oh, I started to say, didn't finish. When this sickness started to come on the nation, I was so grieved in my spirit. And what I was grieved in my spirit is this point right here, that I felt like the church isn't tough enough. And the church, the many of us are just going to get wiped out. Not wiped out by persecution. Are you kidding me? To live is Christ. To die is gain. What you going to do? They're going to kill you? Oh, what you going to do? Ooh, you know what? I'm going to go to heaven now and be with Jesus. Whoa. Do you understand? No, not, I'm not talking about wiped out. I'm talking about wiped out because you won't let go of a cushy life that you're not asked to do anything for Christ. And that's not biblical. That's not the Bible. You're going to be asked to do all kinds of things that are going to put you in an uncomfortable state. Well, get out of your comfort zone and just in a practical way. Oh my goodness, how in the world? Whoa, I'm gonna. You know, one time, I'll end it with this story. I think. Look at your neighbor, say, I think. My dad, one time. You know what? He wasn't in shape. He's 40-something years old. Remember that movie, Chariots of Fire? How many remember that? Well, my dad saw Chariots of Fire. The next day, he got his funky shorts on. You know what I mean? Funky dad shorts on. He didn't have no pair of running shoes. He had some stupid sneakers that he'd bought 30 years ago. He puts that on with his running shorts and his funky t-shirt that says, I love Jesus. And he runs from where we lived in North Whittier to the church. in his mind, he's got that that bum 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 bum. Some of you younger people have no idea what I just did, okay, but it was really funny. That was the theme of the movie, and he's got that going on in his head. But that night, he was in bed. Linda. That's my mom's name. Linda. He was out for 4 days. I mean, recovering from. What's my point? So, Pastor, why do you tell that story? Here's why. Because we're not going to get in shape in one day. So start to get tough. Here, can you come for 2 hours this week? Every single one of you, can you come for 2 hours? Pastor, what are you trying to get a bunch of work done for free? No, I'm trying to get you outside of yourself and into the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God has really so much to do with others and not really, well, I don't have time to preach all that, but trust your pastor. Allow me to train you. Got to get outside of ourselves. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you'd like to, we'll do this one first, and then we'll do the other one. If you want to accept Jesus, you're not sure that Jesus is in your heart. You might think he is, but you're not sure, and you want to be sure on this. You don't want to pretend. You don't want to miss it. Maybe at home, you're watching us at home. You want to accept Jesus. Say this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to become a Christian today. I want to do what you ask me to do. You be in control. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, we believe if you said that prayer, you got born again right now. You need someone to help you. I don't know everything, but I am called here to help you. I want to be your pastor. Come and be part of what God is doing in this place. Come back Sunday. Start watching us through the internet every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock. Let me just start mentoring you. All right. If God has spoken to you in any way, if you felt like, you know what, Pastor, I'm too soft in a couple areas that I need to work on some areas in my life. I'm not sure that I would be tough enough to endure any temptation, any persecution. I'm not sure, and I want, God spoke to me today about being tougher and more committed to Christ. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Yes, go ahead, get your hands up. Get them up quick. Don't allow, well, what will they think? Who cares? Nobody cares, but God cares. Father, we see the hands that are up today. I pray that we would be willing to do what you ask us to do. Help us to recognize, if we can't do the small thing, how in the world are we going to do the big thing? Help us to do the small thing this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.